Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking for entrepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. We have a great show today. Meeting with Sid Oberoi, the president and chief academic officer of Zaniac. And Zaniac is a fun, colorful campus where kids are doing stuff like robotics with Legos, 3D printing, learning about physics by playing with Minecraft on the iPad, designing their own apps in the Google Play Store, and more. And we're going to talk to Sid about that in just a moment. Franchise Interviews. Stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Sid Oberoi, the President and Chief Academic Officer of Zaniac. And Zaniac is a fun, colorful campus where kids are doing stuff like robotics with Legos, 3D printing, learning about physics by playing with Minecraft on the iPad, building, designing, and selling their own apps in the Google Play Store, and more. Hi, Sid. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing pretty well, Marty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sid. Thanks for coming on the show. This is a fantastic concept, so we're really excited to have you on the show today. We'd like to ask our guest, where are you calling from, Sid?
I just got back to Salt Lake City. I was in Manhattan and Westport the last couple of days getting ready for their launches. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's terrific. You know, Zaniac is interesting. We started the show 8 years ago, Sid, because we always felt that, you know, every franchise concept has a story. And Zaniac really, I guess you could say it goes back to like the 1970s, the origin of it anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. My co-founder, Paul Zane Pilzer, had always thought that interactive learning was the wave of the future for making sure that students were very well versed in terms of learning and had a more customized learning experience. Because as we all know, learning is very different from student mm-hmm. to student, and they all learn in different capacities. So having an interactive environment where students are able to learn through a very positive mechanism is exactly the type of experience that we're hoping to produce at Zaniac. And I think we've gone a long ways over the past couple of years, over the past 30 years, I might say, in terms of improving learning. But what we recognize is we're not focusing enough on science, technology, engineering, mm-hmm. and math. And that's exactly what we at Zaniac are trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say, I mean, our country has fallen behind, Sid, haven't we? I mean, if you look at, you know, over the last, you know, the decades, you know, I mean, we've have fallen behind in those areas, haven't we, as a country anyway?
Certainly. I mean, you consistently see that the United States is ranked 18th or lower on the international math standards exams compared to other countries. And we just think there's so much more that can be done in terms of improvement. And moreover, the United States is lagging further and further behind in terms of innovation because our students today are not spending enough time in terms of science and technology. And that's really what we see is going to improve innovation in the future.
Absolutely. I totally agree. How do you describe Zaniac to someone who might be interested in the concept? Like, I mean, if you were at a franchise show, Sid, and someone came up to your booth and they said, Zaniac, I mean, what's that? I mean, how do you typically respond to them?
Yeah, so, I mean, Zaniac exists to engage kids in grades K through 8 in science, technology, engineering, math. The idea is that Zaniac is like school at its best. It's not learning. It is learning, but it feels like play, right? You think back to the moments where you had the most fun while you were in school. It was when you were on a field trip, when you got to go to the zoo, planetarium, et cetera, et cetera. But those were one-time experiences throughout the duration of the year, or maybe once a semester. But we don't think these types of experiences should be isolated to once a semester or once a year. We think that's something that can happen every day or every week at Zaniac. We want to create a fun experience and an after-school learning center where kids come to supplement their education. We're not saying that we're a replacement for school, but we're saying that we provide a really positive environment. The kids are having fun. They're learning a lot subversively by playing fun games like Minecraft. They're doing computer programming, and moreover, they're creating their own games that their peers can play with.
It's so interesting that you said that, Sid, you know, because, you know, that's very true. You know, I remember as a young student, you know, I wasn't a very good student. I eventually went on to get a doctorate degree. But, you know, as a young student, you're right. I mean, just the one day a year that I always liked was the class trips, you know, going to Philadelphia or going into Manhattan or something like that, you know. And that's where I always felt I learned the most. And Zaniac is that experience. It's almost like having, as you say, a class trip every day, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, kids get to do very cool things while they're here. They make their own 3D printed creations. They design their own apps. They dive into fashion design even, which is really fun.
It looks like, I mean, when I was on the website a couple of days ago, too, Sid, I mean, it does. It has that. It's an experience, Zaniac, isn't it? I mean, you can see all the kids, you know, happy and smiling and, you know, just interacting with each other. And, you know, I suspect that it also increases a child's confidence as well, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. It's a fun place where students can go, and moreover, when parents come to pick up their kids, they don't want to leave. It's actually a struggle for the kids to say, "Hey, mom, I want 5 more minutes," or "Dad, I want 5 more minutes. I need to finish this activity, or I want to play for 5 more minutes, or I want to finish this project that I've been working on." And it's a bright, fun, colorful space. We don't want it to be dreary or drab like the school where they're out for 8 to 9 hours a day. We want it to be something that's a long-term, fun, exciting place that they don't get sick of because they always have something new to do while they're here.
That's fantastic. Technology plays a big part in Zaniac, doesn't it, Sid? Maybe we could talk a little bit about, how technology has played a role in your business.
Absolutely. I mean, technology really exists at Zaniac from the ground up, from our operating system, which is really what enables franchisees to run their business. It allows them to do everything from marketing to their clients to taking money from their clients through a very solid e-commerce app. But more importantly, it allows their instructors to communicate with the parents of the students. It allows them to schedule their students and say, "All right, you're going to have 4 kids learning Minecraft in classroom 2 today, and we're going to assign Johnny or Marty to be the instructor for those 4 kids from this time slot." So it's a very extensive CMS and LMS, but realistically, our Zaniac operating system is what we created to make this franchise as successful as it's been. So it enables a franchisee owner to be more of an absentee owner if they so choose, and allows them to really have a designated manager that takes care of the day-to-day operations. But the flip side of that is technology is everywhere we are at with our kids. Each of the courses has a very integral technological component, whether it's playing Minecraft on the computers, or whether it's doing some computer programming and coding, or programming a robot to do X, Y, or Z task.
That's fantastic. It sounds like something like adults would want to be part of, Sid.
I mean, that's not the question that we get all the time. Like, parents are always asking, "Can I take this class?" As for our franchisees, they're like, "Well, I want to buy this franchise so I can take these classes and learn on my own."
That's fantastic. The industry that you guys are classified in too. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of growth in your particular industry as well, Sid. I mean, are there any numbers as far as like growth rates or anything like that?
Well, we're in a very interesting space. A lot of individuals will oftentimes try and compare us to the tutoring industry, which we definitely do not consider ourselves to be. We're not your traditional tutoring centers that exist out there. We position ourselves in the enrichment space. So I mean, there's a lot of growth happening with tutoring, with Mathnasium just blowing up over the past couple of years. But moreover, we're so much more aligned in the enrichment space because we all these other organizations focus on math and reading, whereas we focus on STEM enrichment. And these are opportunities that aren't given to students on a daily basis within school. But we're seeing more and more locations popping up across the country, a lot of mom and pops that are trying to do STEM enrichment, but they don't necessarily have the resources to write a curriculum and have an operating system and really penetrate the market like we're able to with our operating system and with our resources that we have in terms of the extensive amount of curriculum that we've curated over the past 4 years.
That's great. Maybe we could talk a little bit about your franchisee, Sid. I mean, what characteristics does Zaniac look for, when kind of interviewing or meeting with a prospective franchisee?
Yeah, I mean, we're very passionate about STEM education, and we really view Zaniac as being a positive impact to your community. We have a lot of different franchisees that do it for that very reason. They see a fundamental shortcoming that exists within their community with education not being fulfilled, and they want to step in and they want to change their community, and they want to provide their children. They typically have kids, but they want to provide their children and the children within their community a positive place to go where they can have a where they can learn these new resources that are required for the 21st century. We really pride ourselves on producing 21st century skills for our kids, and those are exactly what they sound like, skills that are necessary for students to succeed in the 21st century. So we're looking for individuals that are passionate about education. They may or may not have some sort of business background or a marketing background or a finance background. They have some asset that they're bringing to the table. They might have a technology background, for instance, but they all share the similar characteristic of being passionate about STEM education and really wanting to improve their communities in some capacity. And that being said, they recognize that this is a tremendous business opportunity where they can make some money while doing this, you know, and ultimately that's why you get into franchising to begin
sure.
with. You don't want to do a lot of the legwork and the groundwork. And when they see that we have a lot of the curriculum and operational groundwork done for them, it makes it a lot easier for them to jump on in and get started with Zaniac moving forward.
That's great. How does the training work, Sid? I mean, once you decide, you know, someone decides that they want to become a franchisee, I mean, do they come out to your corporate headquarters? Is that typically how it starts off?
Yeah, so we have two different types of training processes. We have corporate, training that's conducted at our corporate site in Salt Lake City, where they spend mm-hmm. 2 to 3 days here. They observe the campus, they observe the operations. They'll probably send their manager out as well. And their manager will shadow our managers in our corporate locations in Salt Lake and Park City, and they'll actually run the campus for a couple of hours. They'll interact with parents.
Wow.
They'll start to see what's going on. But moreover, the flip side of that is we do on-site training at their locations for 4 to 5 days prior to their opening, where we train their first round of instructors on how to teach the curriculum, as well as get their manager up to ground. And then we stick around for the grand opening and help them out a little bit more to make sure they're comfortable and are ready to run the operations of the business.
That's great. What is a typical day like? I guess if there's such a thing, Sid, for a franchisee, I guess you could say from like the morning and everything else in between.
Yeah, we're such a unique franchise. I mean, just because of the hours of operations that exist, it's not your traditional long-term franchises, if you're getting into restaurants or things like that. We're moreover, during the school year, our locations are open from 3 to 7 or 3 to 8, depending
mm-hmm.
on where you're at. And then during the summer, we're open from like 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. So definitely you're pulling in the full day during the summer months. But during the school year,
right.
you're probably checking in around noon. You're checking your email. You're checking your voicemail to see all the individuals that have indicated interest. And then you're communicating with your manager to make sure that you have the viable staff in place to teach the kids that are coming in for Minecraft and 3D printing and computer programming and all the courses that they're there for. And then you do a lot of interaction with parents. You're doing a lot of community outreach.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to reach out to PTAs and say and get the word out there about Zaniac and let individuals know, hey, this is a great, fun, new resource for students of your school to be able to capitalize on. So that's the great thing about being a Zaniac franchisee, you become the authority within your community on STEM education. And people really look up to you in terms of, hey, Marty in Philly knows exactly, or in Easton, Pennsylvania knows exactly what's going on in STEM education. We should look to them
right.
for him and Zaniac for what we should be doing as a school, or what our kids should be doing for STEM enrichment services. Maybe they have a fun program that they can run. So, I mean, the franchisee is involved in a multitude of things, obviously ranging from marketing to the operations and then just diving in and communicating with the parents, because, I mean, that's what's going to have the best amount of success for them, is interacting with those parents as they walk in the door, answering the phone, and really giving them a flavor for what Zaniac has to offer.
That's great. And I guess that's where the passion and enthusiasm comes in very helpful, doesn't it, Sid? And as I was reading, you know, the brochure on Zaniac, I said, man, what a great concept. I mean, it seems like it's such an easy sell, you know, especially when you believe in it, you know, and I have, a 7-year-old son, you know, I said, oh my God, this would be, you know, perfect for him. You know, he's not a big athlete. You know, we've tried like, you know, putting him in T-ball and the different sports, and while he's okay at it, he just doesn't enjoy it. You know what I mean? These are the things that he enjoys, you know? So we just thought this whole, you know, concept was fascinating. When I was looking at the locations, it seems like you are also strategically placed, aren't you, Sid? I mean, there's very good locations for a Zaniac, isn't there?
Right, right. And going back to your previous point real quick, recognizing that there are so many activities out there that exist for sports and for students or kids that are really interested in sports, but there's so few and far between that really
yeah.
cater to a student's sense of academia that they're excited
right.
about. You don't really have opportunities for them to build a robot
no,
or work with Legos or play video games in a productive manner where they're learning.
Exactly.
And exposed to education. So I think you hit the nail on the head right there, Marty. I mean, that's definitely something that we want to provide to our students. But
sure.
Going back to strategic locations that we're placed in, absolutely. We think that we're starting out. We're only a couple years old. We've only been doing franchising since late 2014. But we're definitely
right.
looking into areas that have a high emphasis on academics and recognizing that's where we'll have immediate success. So we opened up our first location in Greenwich, Connecticut. We opened up in Westport, Connecticut on Wednesday. We're opening up in Manhattan, Boston. We opened up in Miami back in May. We're opening up in Santa Monica, Dallas, all areas which have a high emphasis on education, where you recognize that that's what the parents are looking for, additional outlets for them to supplement their students' education. Obviously, this is something mm-hmm. that we believe is beneficial nationwide, if not worldwide, where everyone needs exposure to these types of programs. But to get our feet off the ground and really start running, we're setting up in areas where there is such a high emphasis on education.
I seem like too is being located also next to like you. I think I was reading in the brochure said you were mentioning like maybe like a Starbucks or something like that. You know what I mean, where the parents can drop
yeah.
their children off and perhaps you know like have a nice cup of coffee or something like that. You know, and just you know get some things
yeah.
done and then come back and pick their children up. I thought that was very clever as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like a perfect model for a parent too, right?
Yeah,
it's dropping your kid off
sure
at a Zaniac for 90 minutes, and then mom
yeah.
and dad have 90 minutes to do whatever they need to do. They have errands to run, right? So we try and locate ourselves next to a Starbucks, as you're mentioning, or a Whole Foods where they can quickly do their shopping,
exactly.
or a Massage Envy, or a
yeah.
gym even, right? They have 90 minutes. They can go knock out a workout real quick, get a quick massage, or go grocery shopping and knock out some errands that they have to do.
That's fantastic. The majority of our listeners said we call them aspiring franchipreneurs. You know, they have it in their mind that they want to go into franchising. But, you know, in doing the show, you know, almost 9 years now, we've learned that, you know, most of them don't even know where to begin. And you deal with a lot of aspiring franchipreneurs and you have contact with them. What advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise?
I'd certainly say find something that you're passionate about. Just talking
mm-hmm.
about what we were going over earlier, you're
yeah.
not going to be very invested in your franchise or your entrepreneurship if you're not doing something that you're excited to do. If you're getting into a business for the wrong reasons, then it's not going to be fun for you. I think the great thing about being an entrepreneur is you find a requisite need in the marketplace that you want to provide to the industry or you want to provide to your community, and that's where you start to see entrepreneurs really to be successful is when they're doing something that is positive and
mm-hmm.
beneficial for them or something that they're passionate about, right? If they can,
yeah.
if they want to open up a sandwich shop, but they don't have the resources to do that and they're really passionate about food, then certainly go for it if that's what you want to do. But I
right.
think it all starts at the moment where you recognize what you're doing is unique, it is compelling, and it is something that you want to spend the next 10, 15, 20 years doing because that's what your commitment's going to be like, and you want to make sure that you're successful. So obviously you have to do your market research and make sure that whatever you're signing up for is going to work in your marketplace, and I know most franchises do that for you, but you want to
mm-hmm.
make sure at the get-go that you're ready to commit to something like this.
It was interesting how you said, going back to the beginning of the interview too, Sid, is, you know, the need or the desire to give back to the community, you know, and Zaniac does that. Again, not to pick on like sub franchises or anything like that, you know, and not to say that, you know, subs don't do anything for society, but you're right. I mean, this is a bigger cause, isn't it? You know, and I never thought about that, you know, in doing the show 9 years, you say, wow, I mean, this is something that really does give back to the community, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, something that's really emerging in this decade alone is this notion of
yeah.
social entrepreneurship and impact investing, right? We have more and more people that are graduating from Ivy League schools that aren't really
right.
aren't really concerned about making six-figure, seven-figure salaries. They're so
right.
much more invested in, hey, I want to give back to my community. I want to do some volunteering. I want to do X, Y, or Z because they understand the need for benefiting their community. So social entrepreneurship is something that I'm really passionate about. If you can have a product that is beneficial to your community and something that you can also make money off of, I think that's really the best route and the best of both worlds, right? We are doing
yeah.
a tremendous amount of things, and obviously there is a price that you have to pay when you're paying for Zaniac, but we do a lot of great things with scholarship programs and giving back to communities and doing workshops with homeless youth and a variety of other things, which is fantastic. And realistically, I think that's the kind of mold of different types of franchisees that we're starting to see that are particularly expressing interest in Zaniac as well, recognizing that they can immediately have an impact on their societies. And there are so many fun niches within what Zaniac serves, right? There are so many shortcomings that exist within the STEM marketplace. So we have a lot of individuals, including myself, that are passionate about getting more girls and women in STEM and more minorities in STEM. And these are just fundamental shortcomings that exist nationwide, and there's no one that are catering to these audiences. So we're so happy to have our franchisees step up and give back and do these types of things for their local communities.
That's fantastic. I still think one day in the future, Sid, Zaniac's going to have a secondary market for adults. I said in 10 years down the road, you know, you're going to realize that, you know, there's a market out there for people just like myself, you know, because when I was reading about it, I said, God, I'd love to be part of something like this. You know, it's just, it really is fantastic. So as the president and chief academic officer of Zaniac, I can ask you the question. I mean, where do you see the company maybe like 3 to 5 years down the road, Sid?
Yeah, certainly. So right now, we just opened up our 5th location on Wednesday. We'll open our 6th location on September 1st.
That's great.
Congratulations. Thanks. We're hoping to have 10 locations open by the end of the year. By the end of 2016, we're hoping to be at 25 locations open and running. And by the end of 2017, we're hoping to have about 55 to 60 open and running. So
that's
definitely
great.
Have a lot of growth ahead of us, and we have a large pipeline of individuals that are interested and in different markets nationwide. We're just in the market of finding the right people that we want to run these organizations, because we want to make sure that they fit the profile, they're going to be successful, and they truly understand what Zaniac is all about.
That's terrific. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee with Zaniac? Is any websites they can go to, any phone numbers they can call?
Yeah, certainly. You can go to ZaniacLearning.com. That's ZANIAC.
Okay.
Learning.com, and there is a Own a Zaniac button on the top where you can read a 9 to 10 page document about what owning a Zaniac looks like and all of the necessary information about it.
It's a great document, by the way, too. I printed it out this week and I went over it, and the website's fantastic, by the way, as well. You know, I think you guys did a great job with that. I love this opportunity. You know, I've done about 450 of these interviews, and I was really excited to interview you today, and even more excited after interviewing with you. I think this is a great concept. So I'd love to invite you back next year as you continue to grow, Sid. I think this is wonderful.
We'd love that. That'd be fantastic. Thanks, Marty.
It was great to talk to you, Sid, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919. Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Franchise Interviews has been hosting this show now over 8 years, and we've done over 400 shows. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but we actually started off as a newsletter in 2006. We had a handful of subscribers, and the newsletter started to build over time. And we got a proposal to turn the newsletter into a radio show. And I originally said no to the idea. I was terrified about doing a radio show. And I thought about it for about 3 days, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. And doing the radio show has really been, I would say, one of the top 5 or top 10 things that's happened, you know, over my life. So it's been a real amazing opportunity. We've interviewed some amazing people, from Michael Gerber to the guest you're going to hear today, Melanie Bergeron. Melanie is in our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast for today, and she is the chair of Two Men in a Truck, and she was on our 6-year anniversary show. We put a lot of thought as far as who we'd like to have on the anniversary show, and she was a perfect choice, a wonderful interview. And one of the questions we asked Melanie on the show was, what advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise? And of course, her response was brilliant. So here we go with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising with Melanie Bergeron, the chair of Two Men in a Truck.
To go or grow, they add a truck, add a truck, add a truck. And then if, depending on what the economy is doing, then you could take a truck out if you had to. Whereas with other franchise systems, you usually have to add a store, add a location.
That's true.
So it's just another beautiful thing. I'm using every second of your time I can to encourage people to think about this business as an opportunity.
It's an amazing opportunity. And, you know, I guess I could officially call you an expert. I know that I believe you are a certified franchise expert. And one of the questions we've been asking on the show, Melanie, for the last 6 years is, you know, what advice would you give to our listeners? We call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. You know, so many of them know they want to get into a franchise opportunity, but it seems, I don't know, it seems a little more difficult today because there's just so much out there. And I think a lot of our listeners, they just simply don't know where to begin. I think they get a little overwhelmed. What would you say to them as an expert in franchising?
I would look at the concept and think about who the audience is that you'll be working with.
Right.
Because no matter what product or service it is, it's not really the product or service. It's who you're delivering to. And, you know, is this an audience that you could be comfortable with? I guess that would be the first thing I would look at. Second, are there unit economics? Third, is this a fad? Is it going to be around 10 years from now? Fourth, how expensive is it to get involved? Are you going to be able to get a loan for it? You know, five, is it going to be difficult to learn this product or service, or will it be pretty easy to learn and teachable to others? Also look for state regulations. Is there a location available in your city or state? Are there special regulations toward that product or service? Because a lot of products and services are regulated, and I'll tell you, moving is. But the biggest thing your listeners can do is call as many, once they receive the permission, call as many of the franchisees in that system that they can. And a couple red flags, if you get the FDD from a company and there is not in item number 19, and that shows just shows average numbers that franchisees make. That's a red flag, and find out why they don't have that in their FDD. Secondly, when you when the prospect does receive permission to call franchisees and they give you a very short list, that's a red flag. And it'd be nice to my truck. We give the whole, all of our franchisees, even people that have left the system, because we want that prospect to call as many people as possible. And if they say, oh, I would never do this, you know, I made a big mistake, then the prospect should ask, well, you sound disappointed, would you do it all over again? And if they say never, then it might be good for the prospect to say, then would you be willing to sell your location? The truth will bubble up in that answer. And then keep in mind, if we, it's not often this happens, but if we had a prospect called Two Men in a Truck, and they said, we talked to this franchisee, and they don't like the way you do things, then we would probably say, you know what, you won't be happy in our system then, because that is how we do things. So I think for a prospect, they're going to get a bulk of their education by checking references. Very, 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 very important.
Wow, that's a great question. I never heard that before, you know, in all the years I've been studying franchising, is, you know, if someone said, you know, they never would have got into it again, then you say, well, would you sell me yours? And they said, no. You know, I would be like, well, okay, I never thought of that. I mean, that's very clever. I had a feeling your response would be, you know, nothing less than spectacular. You know, it's
So thank you, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to hear that whole interview with Melanie Bergman, the chair of Two Men and a Truck, you can actually go to franchiseinterviews.com. You can go to our franchises listed alphabetically page and just go to Two Men and a Truck. You can go to our franchises by category page and go to our home services page. And we'd like to thank everyone again for making this podcast and this show such a big success. It's amazing that we've been doing it now 8 years, and we hope to do it another 8 years. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.